It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality.
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older? Then we wouldn't have to wait so long. And wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong?
All right, welcome to Speak Out, the Havasu Pioneers radio show for Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. I am the host of Speak Out, Paul LaVoy, and our host of the Havasu Pioneers radio show, probably, what would you call that, the creator? Dan De Los Santos. Okay, co-creator, yourself and Steve Greeley, right?
Yeah, perfect. I would say it was Steve's excellent idea, and he turned me loose with it. So,
all right, perfect.
I've been very honored to actually do the show. Now we're in, I think, our 32nd, 34th show, something
yeah,
like that.
Somewhere, yeah.
So we're doing good. We're about 2.5 years into it, Paul. And so, you know, it's been an honor to actually talk a lot about our past history, the people that made up our community. And for decades, we have told the story through the Havasu newspaper, the Herald. We certainly have had an amazing archive with their publication. And we also have had Butch Wood, who was our local historian, always stood out as kind of the guy. And, you know, who I have with us today is one of my favorite writers and historians for Lake Havasu City, who's kind of picking up that pace and really run with it to the point that we've always been honored to read how he's written about our people, the community, how we got to who we are, is Mr. Buck Dobb. Yeah. So, Buck, you know, you got an amazing career all on its own before we even got to the Havasu side of things.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Dan. I really enjoy listening to you guys, and the Pioneers are great. So I'd like to say hello to all the Pioneers out there. Good morning to you, and I really feel honored to be here today. Yeah, I worked for Comcast for about 30 years. I was one of the executives there, retired at 58, and a lot of pressure. And I decided when I retire, I want to do what I love to do, my passion. And my passion is writing. My passion is telling other people's stories. And there's a lot of great stories out there that aren't being told. You know, in news, what sells is blood and guts. That's what gets eyeballs. That's what gets advertising. And unfortunately, because that's what drives revenue. But there's a lot of good stories out there that aren't being told. And I wanted to be one of the guys that tells them. And I don't need the money. I just want to write for the love of it. And that's why I write. My two books are the same way. I self-published them because I didn't want a publisher to tell me what to say, what not to say, what topic to say. So when it comes to writing, that was where I came from when I first got introduced to Pioneer Stories. And I have to give a shout out to Brandon Bowers, the editor of the Today's News Herald. The man's been just awesome with me. And Pam Ashley also worked with me very closely. And if it wasn't for Brandon assigning me a story one time on the influential street, which was actually several of them, but one of them was Cliff Rose, that got me started writing stories about the Pioneers. And it's just unbelievable, some of the details that come out when you start talking to people.
Well, for those people that don't know about Cliff Rose, Cliff Rose is where McCulloch and C.V. Wood's house was.
Yes.
And a number of friends that I actually had along that street. So, boy, that street in itself tells an amazing history.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, one of the people I want to talk about today, their family moved to Cliff Rose in 1970, and that was Michael Biehn. He's a very prominent actor. I mean, he perhaps is one of the most famous pioneers. And I had the opportunity to write a story about him. And he was one of my favorite stories, and I'll tell you why. He did three things that nobody had ever done before that I talked to. The first thing was he interviewed me. Before we get into the story, he said, "Tell me about your book." And I'd written a book called Kingpin and Eli. And afterwards, I thought, geez, I should have elaborated more. Maybe he's going to write a screenplay for me. But we had a really nice chat, and then we got into himself. No holds barred. He answered every question. The second thing about him that was really great is normally, you know, you guys know this when you're talking to somebody. You can kind of tell when the interview is done. They're kind of, they get the glazed look in their eye. Or, well, we were on the phone, and he kept going and going and going. And it was the only guy I've interviewed that I had to call it quits. I needed to go to bed. We talked for over 2 hours.
I can relate.
Yeah. He talked for 2 hours, and his three-year-old son, Dashiell, and his wife was there, Jennifer. And we were just like, I was just part of their family for 2 hours. But I said, I can't do this anymore. The third thing about him that was really special is when you write a story, you want to make sure that you're accurate. I always do a fact check. If someone's name is misspelled in the paper, they're not going to cut that article out and frame it. They're not going to send it to their aunt, their uncle. So the first thing I ask is, how do you spell your name? You know, and I make sure that when I've written my notes that I've got everything right. And I usually either send an email or a call and do a fact check. So when I set up for the fact check, he said, I don't have to do a fact check. I trust you. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this guy trusts me to write.
It's
without
an amazing honor.
He's trusting me that I'm going to say you get everything right. So, I mean, those three things really made him stand out to me. And the other thing, I mean, he was funny. He got me laughing all the time. He said he left college after the one semester. He did get a scholarship in theater arts, but he didn't want to sit and build sets and work for the upperclassmen's productions. He wanted to get into acting. And he tells me, I'm fond of saying that I attended college from 1974 to 1974.
That's funny.
He came back from college, and he got a job at the Nautical as a handyman. He said, I was the worst handyman there ever was. He worked at the Sandman Hotel in the laundry department, and he's because he was saving money so that he could go to California. And he didn't want to fail and come back home. He wanted to be a success. And so that was what, you know, got him going. But their family came here in 1970. His dad was the first city attorney for Havasu.
Yes.
His mom, Marcia, was a nurse.
Wattel being a mom.
Yes, well. Right. And his brother, Stephen, has been an attorney in town. He retired last year.
Right.
And after I interviewed Michael, I called up Stephen and said, hey, I need a lawyer. So he became my lawyer. We redid all of our trusts with Stephen. And so they moved here in 1970, and he was 14, and he said, Michael, and he said there were about 5,000 people in town. There was no police department. All there was a bowling alley and a movie theater. No stoplights. And he said, there were no restrictions.
Right.
We walked around in bathing suits. And he said, I really look back at that time, and when I think of it, it was like a paradise.
Right.
And he said, now, sometimes I'm concerned when I see the development in Havasu. It's kind of, I don't want it to become a mini Phoenix.
Right.
But he said, those were wonderful days. His summer jobs were things like, he spent a whole summer picking up rocks out of a ball diamond, or a baseball diamond. One time he had a friend whose dad was a bricklayer, so he was a bricklayer's laborer. 90 cents an hour. They would go to Parker at 4:30 in the morning, because it gets hot here, and he noticed the carpenters put their nails in water to keep them cold. And he was always active and doing stuff like that. And when he went to high school, he was part of the drama department. They were from, they moved here from Lincoln, Nebraska, and his mom introduced the family to the theater. To keep the kids out of trouble, she would take them to the theater. So he credits her for that. But in high school, he was in drama, but he really loved sports. He thought he wanted, at one point, he might even want to be a football coach. But, and he earned varsity letters in football and in basketball. He loved basketball, but he said, I couldn't shoot and I couldn't jump, but I was aggressive.
But he loved the game. Yeah. Michael Bean.
Right.
That's funny.
And I understand from talking to Dave Aide, I understand in the junior varsity was a fullback, and he actually blocked for him. David told me that he was really a down-to-earth guy, one of the guys. Nobody ever thought he was going to be a movie star.
Right. Yeah. It's from when we think of Mike Bean, we think of Mike Bean.
Yeah.
We don't think of Michael Bean the actor, you know, because, I mean, a great many of us anyway that remember him in school. So it was very hard to make that connection, if you will, with the Terminator at first going, and you're looking at the screen.
Right.
And
yeah.
This is the guy in the locker room.
Yeah.
Literally. That's funny. When he's dropped in. Yeah, but then there's the reaction when he's in Tombstone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Johnny Ringo. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Right.
And that role in Terminator, when he was Sergeant Kyle Reese, that was one of his favorite good guy roles.
Oh, wow.
And he loved the role that he also played in Alien. And his favorite bad guy role was that one, Johnny Ringo. He loved playing Johnny Ringo. So,
well, he did it very well. I mean, needless to say. And when you see, you know, the actors in these different roles and then you look back on some things that we experienced during Havasu, you almost got to ask yourself, wow, did he pick that up from this party we were at or what?
Right.
Because,
right.
I mean, he's very inspirational when it comes to his development of his craft. And I've always admired his career without a doubt. One time we were at a class reunion in a motorhome, and we were, it was Jeff, Eddie Jeffers and Mike Bean and I were in this motorhome and we're just shooting the breeze. And I think it was a multi-class reunion is really what it might have been, the very first one. And we're shooting the breeze in there and we're talking about the houseboat, the big crooked. And I said, you know, I really need to write the story, cause unfortunately I just haven't gotten it all down. He says, hey, Dan, it's a great story. He says, you know, he remembers the boat. And he says, whatever you do, make sure you tell the whole story and don't leave out anything that you think people would be offended by. You know, you gotta tell the entire story in order for it to be real.
Wow.
And I've taken that comment that he made with me all these decades afterwards and realized that when I'm ready to put this thing on paper that I have to put it all on paper. So it was really great advice.
You know, that's interesting. I just read a book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, I think. And he says that the definition of a hack, and he quoted somebody else, a hack is somebody who writes something that he thinks other people will like, or plays music that he thinks other people will like. And he said, as a writer, you've got to write what you want to write, just like that. And he said, that's the difference between a hack and a real professional.
Do you also need to write what you know?
Yes, you do.
Otherwise, you're kind of found out if you're just fictionalizing something that you don't really know about.
Right. You have to know it, or you have to have so much passion that you've lived it at some point or other. Because a reader, you can't fool a reader. They know.
Right. Right.
So and you know, Jeffers is the gentleman that, whose father was the bricklayer that I was referring to earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. And he just really. When he went through his career, he started off, you know, as a bit part player. He was in Grease, and he was in two scenes in Grease. One of them, he got punched by John Travolta's character Danny, and the other one's just a fleeting scene. He didn't get credit for it, but he says, "I did get union scale."
nice.
Well, and it was Eddie Jeffers' crane, I believe, that was used to put the cow above Herb's Food Town into. Get it down off the roof and put it into the principal's office in the high school. Oh, that was a moment. But yeah, let's go ahead and take a quick break, Paul. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. And I want to give a shout out to Brandon Bowers.
Okay.
Just got a text message from him. He's listening.
Oh.
He's out and about, reporting, you know, like editors do, right?
Uh-huh.
And a fantastic writer. Also, one of my news partners for the Radio Central News Network, the HabsuNews.com, Brandon helps supply our news.
Oh, that's
to our
great
news department. Yeah. When you can't get out and report, you have to rely on news partners, right?
He's done a great job, and you could tell a difference when he came on board.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Nice endorsement
from
another writer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brandon has definitely helped us with so many projects in town.
Nice. Yeah. All right, back with more in a moment. You're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show with host Dan DeLosantos, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm the host of Speak Out, Paul Lavoie, and our host, Dan DeLosantos, is waiting on deck. I'm going to let everybody know that the show is brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, also SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, and the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And I got to get a happy birthday out there to another pioneer, a huge pioneer in this area, not Havasu, but Laughlin. Mr. Don Laughlin was born on this date in 1931.
Man.
I know, crazy. Happy birthday, Mr. Laughlin. Those of us who've been on the property enough know never to call him Don on property. Mr. Laughlin. Absolutely. So happy birthday, Mr. Laughlin. And, well, I haven't seen him in a few years, but still looking good from the pictures I've seen on social media.
Well, you know, I actually remember going to the casinos. I'm sure I was probably too young, but they would let us stay in there when we got up there about 2 a.m. in the morning, way back in the day. And that's when these casinos were just single level. There was no road across the river. You had to boat across the river. We'd go in there at 2 a.m. in the morning, grab a meal, and gamble till about 7 a.m. in the morning, and we always won.
Nice.
They didn't want us leaving, so we had remarkable wins. I go, no, you don't want that card.
Really?
Really?
That's called card steering.
No.
All right, so we also need to mention that the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating.
Those are our guys.
They are the reason why we're here and why we're so comfortable in this office right now.
I got to tell you, I'm really happy with those guys at Mercury. And it's getting warmer out, by the way, so folks, start thinking about having your AC checked.
Yes.
Mine was rough, and thank goodness we addressed it. So I'm here with Buck Dopp, who is my guest speaker for today, and he's a fellow writer, historian here in Lake Havasu City, and he's sharing different stories, and he's going to be back, folks, more than just this particular show. He's going to be coming back and talking about multiple shows over the course of this next year. So, you know, what's the next topic you want to talk about?
Well, I'd be remiss if we didn't get into one of how you and I met. Again, going back to Brandon Bowers, he assigned me, there was this guy named Dan DeLosantos, and he's got a bar.
Oh boy.
That was the hook. And so, I called you up, and, you were still in the you had just recently relocated here, and you were still in the process of assembling it.
Right.
I walked in there and it was just unbelievable. I tell people I've never seen a bar like that. I would say there isn't a bar that's any better than that in Arizona.
Oh wow.
Havasu.
That's quite a statement.
Cause it is not only a bar, ladies and gentlemen. It's a museum. And it's got artifacts. It's just the artifacts alone probably have a very intrinsic value. But they have a very big value to Dan, and it's a labor of love, And you can tell that when you walk in. It's everything is done first class. It's presented so that it's in the best lighting. And there's just so many things about it. And everything I would ask him, there's a story behind it. And he would go on and on. In fact, Mary at the end of the interview said, it usually begins with, would you like to have a beer? And then Dan will launch into a story. And by the way, your wife is really a sweet lady. And let's talk about that, the bar. I mean, there's a very special connection you have with C.B. Wood. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, I do. So the bar thing actually started from my godfather, who was the distributor for Coors in California. And I was only 5 years old when I first saw my first bar that looked like that. Uh-huh. And so I have a lot of the artifacts from his bar in there. When I met my wife in Hawaii, Mary De Los Santos, we built the beginning of this bar that you saw. And when we left and went to Colorado, we shipped it all with us, brought it all the way to Colorado, went to Winoka, Oklahoma, bought several properties, and walked in, of course, to the museum in Winoka, Oklahoma. Nobody knows where Winoka is, and why would they? It is the transatlantic landing location for Amelia Earhart and Charles Lindbergh.
Wow.
But it also has an immediate relationship with Lake Havasu City. So when I met the curator, she asked me, where are you from? I said, Lake Havasu City. She said, did you know a man by the name of C.V. Wood? And I said, well, by the way, I sure did. When I was a kid, I got a chance to shake his hand a few times on Main Boulevard. She says, well, you know where he's from? I says, no, absolutely not. She says, right here in Winoka, Oklahoma. She says, no, where he was born, right? And he says, no. He says, right by your barn. So
what
taking down all the barn wood anyway. Turns out barnwood is very profitable. So in the midst of selling a lot of it, we brought a whole bunch back, put it in our bar in Colorado, and of course, from that bar, it transitioned to here in Lake Havasu City when, you got to see it, Buck. So one of the things we're proudest of is that the barnwood, all the walls in the bar, are from where C.V. Wood was born in Winoka, Oklahoma. Big thanks to Sandy Olson, who's the curator. And she has a story that she tells about Havasu when you go to Winoka, Oklahoma, and their museum, which is an old Harvey house. So there's just this great energy between the two museums that they communicate. And so that we have all kinds of stuff in the bar. We have the railroad track over the top. Yeah. We have the back bar that has, of course, the decanters from the 1971 inauguration of the bridge. We have a bomb that's from the recovery mission for the Apollo space program, when it landed on the moon. We have a tapper system that was pre-war 1941 Kona Inn. And of course, there's a tremendous amount of little knickknacks that are all from people here in Lake Havasu that they brought by, made it their bar, if you will. Uh-huh. So it's, you would call it a community bar almost.
Uh-huh.
And I'll stop there, yeah. But you know, you're right. There's a story with every piece.
And didn't we have Rick Powell take a picture of
that? We did.
That was part of the story. Mm-hmm. And I think you posted my story in there somewhere, didn't you?
Yes.
I was honored that you did that. And by the way, C.V. Wood, people may not know this, is a chili cook-off champion too, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And he also was the man who designed Disneyland for Walt Disney. So
yeah.
When you tie all that in, it's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
These walls are talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the three of us know who C.V. Wood is, but there may be people outside of Havasu listening to Bullhead or Kingman who do not know who C.V. Wood is.
He is the gentleman who is the engineer who managed to figure out how to get the London Bridge from London to Lake Havasu City. He moved the largest antique in the Guinness Book World of Records.
Right.
Yeah. And he designed the city. He was he designed Disneyland and a bunch of other places all over the country. And you know, I got a great story about him. Jim Sterling, who did the electrical work on the original London Bridge, and I understand he started it on just a napkin and just he hand drew it out. But he was very good friends with C.V. Wood. And he said, Woody, you got to make these streets wider. You know, people are not going to get through. And C.B. Wood said, no, Jimmy, we've got to have a lot of houses in here so we can make more money. And that's why, and they were concerned that there would be no street lights because you didn't want to have the stars of not be able to be seen. So there's a very, and they wanted to have cul-de-sacs so that people could see the lake from every position. The design of Lake Havasu was really unique, and it was designed so you could see the stars on the lake. And that's why a lot of people wonder why the city is laid out the way it is. And I incorporated that into my book, by the way. There's a fictional city in both of my books, a fictional city called Briggs Lake, and I'll talk about that when we talk about the book. But
all right, yeah. Perfect. You ready to take a break, Dan?
Sure, let's take a break.
And here I thought the city was designed after a plate of spaghetti.
Actually, it reminds me of Disneyland. For
a little
anyone
bit.
That's ever been there.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie along with Havasu Pioneers Radio Show host Dan De Los Santos. Our guest is Buck Dopp, a local writer and historian, and just, wow, the stories. Great stuff. All right, we'll be back with more on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, our Havasu Pioneers Radio Show sponsor. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. We do have a text question, by the way. Somebody texted my cell phone. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, and by Herbs Herbs, and of course our Havasu Pioneers Radio Show sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. If you'd like to participate, you have a question for Dan De Los Santos or Buck Dopp, give us a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And our listener wants to know via text, is Dan's bar still here? Right.
Well,
I take that to mean he didn't hear the part. I believe this is in your house.
It's actually a separate building next to our pool.
Nice.
So it's a big 20 by 30 building. So the answer is yes, it is here.
It's a casita.
Yes, it is more. It's more of a private element.
It's a casita bar.
We're actually building the casita next to it here over the next few months. So
you have Dan's compound.
Yeah.
Complete with bar and casita.
Pay for the Airbnb and come and see the bar.
Nice.
But, you know, so we've been talking to Buck Dopp here today, and of course, we're going to have him on the show periodically with some different topics that he's been involved with. But I wanted to talk about your book, Dopp. You know, tell me what's going on with that, Buck.
Well, thank you very much for asking. I didn't ask you to ask me this question. I want the listeners to know that. You know, I appreciate you doing that. The book is called Second Wind. Sometimes the end is actually the beginning. And that's a theme throughout the book. The book is dedicated to veterans. And I felt in my heart that somebody needed to write the story of a veteran, and I wanted to write the story. And I came out of the Vietnam War era. I was heavily involved with Army ROTC and officer training, and many of my buddies died, and I wanted to honor them with this book. So it's first and foremost that you should understand, if you have a veteran that you want to honor, it'd be a great book to buy. But it's basically a military love story.
Okay.
He can't get a job because the only skill he has is killing people. Okay. And people don't trust him. Mm-hmm. And so he gets a job as a bouncer at a bar. And I've created a fictional city called Briggs Lake, Arizona. And it's really Lake Havasu City. Like my first book had Briggs Lake in it, and it's Lake Havasu City. Briggs Lake is where I came of age, Briggs Lake, Minnesota. But I did not want to put Lake Havasu City in it because there's crime in my books.
Right.
There's a crime story in my first one, Kingpin and Eli, and there's a crime element in this one. And there's a drug gang in this one. And it's part of the story. And I include people fictionally that I've known in my life. They're they're used fictionally, that's not who they really are, always with their permission. And a lot of the people, some of the stories in there are things that related to my work with the Today's News Herald, mm-hmm. where I have had the opportunity to talk to a lot of veterans, and I did not do combat myself, and I was not a pioneer per se myself, but if you dig deep enough into something, you get inside the heart of the people that are. My grandparents came here on a McCulloch flight, and they were avid golfers and bridge players from Des Moines, Iowa. My grandfather was a candy salesman, and my grandmother was a nurse, an RN. And they couldn't stand that weather in Iowa. So they came out, they started coming out here as snowbirds. They bought the lot, but they never built on it. And that when they retired, they came here, and then my uncle retired here to Key Western. You may have seen that sign on Key Western, Tacoma. That house was for sale because my aunt just passed away at the age of 95. My grandmother lived here until 2002, and she was at Montana Vista. So then my wife and I retired here in 2009. So while we've been immersed in the pioneer thing, and I wanted to put that into the book. So the streets are Havasu streets, a lot of the stories about the way it was built, I incorporated into my book. But I think the book is a page-turner. People tell me it's hard to put down once you start reading it, because I didn't want to write a boring book. And I self-published it because I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to have somebody publish or tell me you can't put something in that. It's got a little something for everybody. It's got a little faith message to it, but I don't hit people over the head with it. It's not preachy. It's I wouldn't say it's G-rated, because you can't talk about Army veterans, you can't talk about mafia people and use perfect language. I started doing that so my grandchildren could read it that way, but the characters weren't real.
Well, we had mafia people here. We certainly had our share of veterans in the war that were part of Lake Havasu City and the community. So I know that there's a lot of things that people will be able to relate to by reading your book. You know, Synanon comes to mind as a great topic for you to write about.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are scared. I mean, I get goosebumps just talking about those people because they freak me right out.
Yeah.
And the whole snake in the mailbox thing and the, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a handful of us here that still remember that. A shout out to Kerry Knoll because he brought it to my attention. And so we had talked about it. Several people, unfortunately, have passed on that were heavily involved. But families were told to leave town because there was a scare factor. And it got real. It was really something.
And, you know, Don Bean, the first attorney of Havasu, was involved with that.
Yeah.
And Steve has quite a few stories about that, too, yeah.
So what's the name of your book?
It's called Second Wind.
And where do we find it?
It's available on Amazon.com. And if you live in Havasu, I will hand deliver it to you.
There you go. Wow, can they get a signed copy?
If you're one of my Facebook friends, I'm on Facebook, just send me a message and we'll arrange. I'll deliver it to you. My email address is buck@buckdop.com. Shoot me an email, tell me where you live, and I'll bring you the book. It's $20, and that includes tax and everything. And I'll sign it for you.
Wow, that's wonderful.
The other thing you can do, you can get it on Amazon, but it'll be a little more expensive with the shipping, and you won't have my signature on it, and you'll have to wait a little longer. But,
right.
I would love to have people at Havasu get it, because I wrote it for you guys.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So,
and we really appreciate that, you know, Buck. There's the people like yourself that appreciate our history, our people, the passions that we all have. We're a very unique community, as you well know. There's Havasu and there's everywhere else in the United States,
right.
It seems like.
Yeah.
You know, I was, I like to share that kindness with people. I'll be at the grocery store and, you know, and say hi to somebody who I don't even know. How you doing? Are you having a good day? And of course, they just moved here from maybe California or another city. They're checking their pockets.
Yeah. Right. That's one of the hallmarks of this city, is everybody's so friendly.
Right.
Everybody says hi. You walk Rotary Park, and you can always tell the people that aren't here because that aren't from here because they're unfamiliar, they're uncomfortable with that.
Right.
They're not sure if they should make eye contact or smile or anything like that. But I always say hi to people. I walk my dog. I have a white lab, a yellow lab, but he's all white.
You have a beautiful dog.
We walk on the south side, and everybody that comes by, I wave to them. I figure they might be one of my friends. How do I know?
Right. You know, our grocery stores, we have actually a bar in our Smith's grocery store, and I got to give a shout-out to the staff there because they're so kind. And we walk in there, and we're grocery shopping, and here comes the people that we grew up and went to high school with, and we're stopping, we're shooting the breeze, and we're grocery shopping, having a beer in the bar with our shopping cart. It is for me, that's very unique. I've just never run across that kind of an opportunity to do that.
And, you know, my wife and I moved 25 different times in my career, and we've lived all over the country, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, South. And when you've lived all over the place like we have, you really appreciate Havasu. You know, there's no place like it that we've ever lived. And we started visiting our family here. We were going to be snowbirds at one point. And once we moved here, we said, oh, why leave? We even stay in the summer. We're crazy.
Right, right. So, Buck, how do you choose a story to talk about?
Well, there's two ways. A lot of the stories that I've done were suggested to me by Brandon Bowers or Pam Ashley. They'll say, would you like to do this? And they give me the opportunity to say yes, thumbs up or thumbs down. And that's probably the majority of the stories, how they started. But what happens is I write a story on a topic, and then someone says, oh, I saw your story. I've got something similar to that. Would you write about my friend or my situation? So some stories are like that. They've seen what I've written, and they like the style of the writing, and so I pitch those. And then there's some that I feel in my heart I want to write, and I'll go to Brandon. If he doesn't approve them, then I post them on Facebook. Then they become a profile, because I'm still communicating. I have 1,500 Facebook friends. Virtual friends, but one way or the other, I'm going to tell the story, and I always give Brandon a shot first. If he's not interested, sometimes it may not fit in with what they're doing, but if I really want to do one, I'll write it.
So we're talking about features, right?
Yes.
Okay. What is a recent feature or features that you've worked on that you really enjoyed?
I just finished one. About Father Chauncey Winkler.
Yes, he's leaving soon.
He's the priest of Our Lady of the Lake. This summer, he will have been here 15 years.
Wow.
And he's moving along with 40 other priests in this diocese.
Yes.
And Bishop Thomas Olstead is moving a bunch of people. He's going to a slightly larger church. It's probably a larger
parish.
Church. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said, it's not about that, it's about the people. And he's not interested in ambition. He's not interested. His only ambition is for God to work in people's lives. And we had a wonderful, Stephanie and I went to Easter Mass at Our Lady of the Lake. I was doing research, but I was also getting blessed. And he let me take pictures of him during the Mass. And then I got a picture of he and Stephanie afterwards. And then I went over to the church offices, and we had a really nice interview. I just turned that in to Brandon a couple of days ago.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm hoping that it'll get in the Sunday paper. That's an example, Paul. I'm glad you brought that up. When you're writing about a priest and the service and the quotes he's giving, he's going to be talking about God. He's going to be talking about Jesus Christ.
Right.
There's going to be scripture mentioned and ceremony. At a certain point in the story, I said to Stephanie, you know, this may not get published because it may seem too parochial. It
right.
may seem too
right.
religious.
Right.
And she said, Buck, don't sell out. If they don't publish it, they don't publish it.
Right.
Right.
You wanted to tell Chauncey's story. You tell the story as you see it, which I know better, but, you know, she reminded me of how I feel about it. And I said, you're right, honey. I'm not going to edit out Jesus. I'm not going to edit out God.
Right.
Because I think it may not make front page if I do that. Maybe it isn't going to get published, and maybe it'll just go on the religious page or the religion section. So be it. I told Father Chauncey's story. And by the way, he was awesome. He was a great right. interview. He was friendly, funny, pleasant. Answered every question, And it was just such a great experience for him. And he's really good on emails, too. I could just send him what I wrote, and he write back to me. You know,
oh, that's so fantastic. Hey, Buck, I have a question. If people have a story that they'd like you to review and, you know, a topic perhaps, how would they reach it?
At my email address or Facebook, if they're friends with me on Facebook. And if they want to friend me today, if just Bucked Up on Facebook, but my email address is buck@buckedup.com. You've got to tell me why it would be compelling for readers. Give me the hook. The lead of a story is like the hook. That first sentence or two tells the reader, looks at that, and if you don't hook them in that first sentence or two, they're not going to read the story. You've got to give me a sentence or two. Why is it important? Why does it matter? Why? And because I have to craft that into a pitch to Brandon, and I always have to make it compelling. Why would readers want to read this? It might be a friend of mine, but why would they want to read it?
Right.
So tell me, and that doesn't mean I'm not trying to discourage anybody from saying, I'm just saying, give me some facts. Give me something that I can sell to Brandon.
This is the start of the process in which it takes to get a story published.
Yes.
So yeah, and our show is recorded, by the way, folks. you can go to, KNTRtalk.com. And find our pre-recorded shows there here on the website. So,
just one last question. There, we have about 3 minutes left. Who does your photography? Who does the photographs for anything accompanying your articles?
I do.
You do.
I do your own. Yes. Uh huh. I just got an iPhone 13 Pro Max, and I love it. and I have a D60 Nikon. Mm-hmm. But I end up using my iPhone. It's just as good.
Well, I'm glad you quit using those disposable cameras. So
yeah,
but yeah, you can up the pixel count, and you get pretty good quality for the newspaper. Yeah,
yeah, and that's part of what I love doing is taking the pictures. I've also been a professional photographer, so. But I like my iPhone. You can put it in your pocket. You're not disrupting people. I can sit at the Mass, get Father Chauncey with a little, and the pictures came out great.
So on a little personal note, Dan, I actually met Buck on LinkedIn. So you can find him there as well if you're a networking person and you want to network with Buck on LinkedIn and ask him about his book there too.
Yeah, absolutely. And also Buck was recently one of the primary speakers, I might add, for the 50-year anniversary of the London Bridge, underneath the bridge. Yeah. Got to tell you, somebody didn't have a recorder or a camera going that day, and I'm enjoying this amazing speech you gave. And, of course, it touched on our homemade houseboat. I'm going, this is going to be epic. Yeah. And I look around, and there's not one camera, not one recorder going. And I went, how am I going to get Buck to repeat that speech?
Oh, no.
That's why we have this show.
Exactly.
And you know what? Dan gave me the names of everybody so that they would be mentioned when I talked.
That was a
wonderful thing.
By the way,
if you're on LinkedIn, give Paul Lavoie some recommendations. You have a chance if you're a connection with him to say good things about him for his resume. I did a few things for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so,
appreciate that.
Yeah.
I have kind of a newer profile now. I had an older one, and I had recommendations on there, but they're all gone for some reason. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Well, thank you.
So I'm going to put another recommendation on there for you.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, we need to wrap it up.
Yeah, so, one thing, first of all, Buck, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having me, it's been great.
I'm looking forward to having you back with some new topics. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Real quick, we're gonna be talking about the Kids on the Colorado River Project, the success of the pilot program we did here just in April. So we're even gonna try to have a couple of the kids on our show next month in June. It'll be the first Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m. Look forward to having you folks listening on that show. That's going to be fun because we're prepping to do all 450 seventh graders in November.
June 1st is a Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
All right, perfect. Dan, anything else?
I think we're good.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'll give you info on how to get some Diamondbacks tickets for this weekend. They take on the Colorado Rockies. We still have Friday and Sunday available. We had two calls yesterday, but the second call, she didn't know which game she wanted to go to. So anyway, call us back after the show, or after this break, rather, I'll give you a chance to win those tickets. I'll tell you how to claim them, and you're going to have to give me your email, and that's going to be after the show when you call in. So stay with us. We're going to take our last break of the hour. I'm Paul Lavoie. You're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show on Speak Out. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. If you would like to go to the Diamondbacks game this Friday or Sunday, they're taking on the Colorado Rockies. We are not broadcasting those games, but the D-backs are at Chase Field. I believe it's a 7 p.m. start on Friday and a 1 o'clock start on Sunday. Give me a call, 854-KNTR-928-854-5687. I'm going to need your email so we can email you those tickets. That's just how it works now. All right, stay with us after the news and a short break. Sean Hannity will be on KNTR Talk, so stay with us.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.